this episode of Demipod, we read the first chapter of Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief.
We try our best not to sing along to the musical the entire time.
And we make so many drug references within the first chapter.
Oh my goodness.
Stick around. Hello there. My name is Braden Joseph.
And my name is Hannah Saylor.
And welcome to Demipod, the Percy Jackson and the Olympian fan podcast.
Yeah. Episode one.
Episode one.
We'll see how this goes.
This is Hannah's first time podcast. Well, not necessarily her first time podcasting, as she has recently just told me.
First, well thought out time podcasting, if
yes.
That makes sense.
Yes. And this is mine as well, kind of. I've edited a bunch, but they've never been uploaded for some reason, so...
Well...
First times for everything. Yeah. All right, so, like I said, my name is Braden Joseph, and I believe we have a little introductory thing that we need to go through.
Yeah, just some basic questions. So, who are you? We are both students in college, both theater students. Mm-hmm. Then... I think we should explain when we first got into Percy Jackson, what cabin we're in, our favorite character, and our favorite book.
And just to clarify, it's any Rick Riordan book. It's not necessarily from the Percy Jackson and the Olympian series.
No.
Okay. Because as I've mentioned to her, I might have a problematic favorite.
Okay. I'm excited to hear this problematic favorite.
Okay. So I'll go first. So yeah. I'm Braden Joseph. I am an actor. I'm a playwright. I am an artistic director of a theater company. I do a lot of stuff. And when did I get into the books? I've gotten to the books actually because I saw the trailers for the movie.
Yeah.
the movie that will not be named. And I so wanted to see it. And at the time of me... wanting to see it, I was a really misbehaving child, and I actually got grounded from seeing the movie in theaters. But then I learned that there were books. It was based on books. So from the time that I first saw the trailer to the time that the movie came out on DVD, I had read the entire series.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, mine's kind of the same. So Okay, just a little bit about me. I am a theater major. I'm really big into dancing, choreography. I like to write and do stuff like that. I teach dance. That's a really big passion of mine. When I first got into Percy Jackson, it was a bribe from my mother because I had read nothing but Harry Potter over and over for 2 years. And Ooh. She said, I am begging you to read something else. I will buy you a book. And then she said, there's this new movie that's based off of a series of books called Percy Jackson. And so I'm a little different than you. I wanted to read them before. I'm big into reading the book before seeing the movie.
Yeah.
So I read all the way. I'm probably wrong, but I don't think Last Olympian was out yet. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it had just come out. But I read, I think, all the way through Labyrinth. And then saw the movie with my mom, and we walked out very, very disappointed.
Very disappointed, yes.
So it was all a bribe. That's how I got into them.
That brings into an interesting discussion question. We're going to veer from introductions a little bit here so I can ask this question. Do you think that Percy Jackson is kind of like our generation's Harry Potter? Because I feel like Harry Potter, even though like it belongs to a lot of generations, it came out during... Maybe, because, like, it came out during my sister, who's a couple years older mm-hmm. than me, and her childhood. And this came out during my childhood.
Yeah, well, in a way, yes. I don't think it's as big as Harry Potter.
No.
Because the movies, if the movies had been anything like what the Harry Potter movies were, it would have been a much bigger franchise.
I wish.
There would probably already be a podcast we
yes.
couldn't make up our own. Like you're saying, the Harry Potter books, they were all out before I was even born. Because I was born in 2000, and the movie came out in 2001.
As someone not born in 2000, that makes me cringe.
So I don't know if the last book was... I think the last book came out after I was born. But the Percy Jackson books, especially Heroes of Olympus, I mean, I remember pre-ordering the books and so hyped. I remember my copy of Blood of Olympus didn't show up for 2 weeks after it came out. And all my friends had read it.
Yeah, and so quick story time. I think it was with Blood of Olympus. They were like, or maybe was it Trials of Apollo? It was some book that had like a bookmark in it. And I had pre-ordered
Blood of Olympus.
Blood of Olympus, okay. It came with a bookmark. And I was so mad because when I pre-ordered it, A, it didn't come for its scheduled time. And B, I learned that I would not be getting the bookmark. So I went to the local Walmart and I took a bookmark out of one of the books.
Oh my gosh, you thief.
Yeah. I wanted that bookmark. I love bookmarks. Okay, anyway, so going back to the intro questions.
What cabin are you in?
I am dead on Cabin 7, Apollo Cabin.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I've taken the test so many times, and it's always like, oh, you're in the Athena cabin. And I'm like, I am so stupid.
Not. You're witty.
That's, and I am very into planning and strategizing.
Yeah.
This is kind of nerdy, but my planner is mapped out for, like, the whole year before it even starts.
And just to note, she has all of the notes in her notebook played out beautifully. Like, I'm sorry, you're an Athena kid.
Yeah, but I'm also, you know, super into music. Dionysus is the god of theater, so I'm always like, oh, well, what about that?
Yeah.
And then my friends always joke that I'm in Aphrodite's cabin, but I honestly don't think so either. There's this thing in Harry Potter called a hat stall, and I know it doesn't work like that because in Percy Jackson universe you have one parent.
Yeah.
Not like you could possibly have multiple. I don't even want to think about that one.
No.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think Athena's a good one to go off of, but I also am such a big Annabeth fan that I don't want to be telling myself that I'm in the Athena cabin to be like Annabeth.
Gotcha. See, okay, do you want my opinion?
Yes.
You're either Athena or Hermes.
Oh, interesting. One I've never gotten before.
Really?
Yeah.
I just get Hermes from you sometimes with, like, because you are, like, a little, like, tricky sometimes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't know. That's what I get from you.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Favorite character.
Okay, so favorite character. I think that this is kind of obvious as I am a gay man. But Nico is my favorite character.
Nico
was my favorite before it was known that he was gay.
I actually hated Nico in the early books.
No!
I thought he was so annoying.
But, like, for me, because, like, that was while reading also, like, I was really into card games, and he was into card games.
Yeah.
So that's why I love Nico.
Now that I'm rereading them, I love him. Like, I think he's just, he's so misunderstood, and I think he's kind of he's a misfit in the earlier books. Like, no one's got him figured out. And I think no one still has him figured out. But now I love him. I just didn't like him in the beginning.
Yeah. And he's kind of like the little brother of the series.
He really is.
And you
have three little brothers.
So maybe that's why you didn't like him, because he's like, he reminded you of your little brothers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe. my favorite character is Annabeth Chase. I just love that girl. She's amazing. She's my favorite. My dream role in a musical is Annabeth Chase.
Which, we know that there's a musical. We're going to get into the musical, but it's not going to be until we've both seen it. And someone here has not seen it, and I'm not going to say who, but it's
I wasn't
going
to go to Chicago by myself.
I was going to.
Yeah. I'm seeing it, though. I have my ticket. I'm sitting in the orchestra. I'm really pumped.
Yeah. Sitting in the orchestra. I sat in the, like, nosebleed seats because, like, I wanted the cheap experience, the cheapest experience I could.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well,
my little brother Noah is as into these books as I am, and so I'm kind of thinking maybe the closest one is, I don't remember where it is, but it's like an 8-hour drive, and I'm kind of tempted because it's in the summer to just take him because tickets are cheap.
It would be a fun little trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've met George Salazar, so now I need to meet everyone else.
Yeah, you've seen Be More Chill. You
did
have
see
that
Be
on
More
me.
Chill.
All right, anyway, so.
Favorite book.
Okay, so my problematic favorite book of Rick Riordan, and I know this book gets a lot of crap.
I feel like I know what this is.
Maybe the very first Kane Chronicles book.
Okay.
As much as I love Percy Jackson, I adore the Kane Chronicles, so I cannot wait until we get to the Kane Chronicles.
Yeah. Confession.
Yes.
The last book of the Kane Chronicles is the only book I haven't read.
Really?
Yeah.
For me, it's The Trials of Apollo, that whole series, and, like, the rest, and I've only read the first two Mangus Chase books, because, like, Magnus Chase? Thank you. Because, like, well, because by the time those books were coming out, I was going into college, and all my free time was lost.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I ordered them, and I have them, I just haven't read them yet.
You will love them. Sorry, I keep hitting the microphone. You need to read Trials of Apollo, though.
Especially because he's my dad. He's literally my dad.
You really need to read the second one, Burning Maze. We'll get into news in a little bit.
Okay.
But, like, I can't talk about certain things because it's just such a huge spoiler.
I don't care about spoilers. You can talk
about
it.
You will care about this spoiler.
Okay. So, then maybe we should hold off for the podcast as well.
Anyways, my favorite book, and we could, like, at a later time go into a different series, but I think my favorite book is Mark of Athena. I remember, since I was reading those when they came out, I finished it at 1 a.m. and started sobbing because now I had to wait a year. And when my brother's reading these, he doesn't get it. That you have to wait a year before the next one. And that was the worst cliffhanger. We're not even hanging on the cliff. They fell off of it. But that's my favorite.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's a very close tie with The Last Olympian, though.
Okay. Gotcha. So. Well, now you know a little bit more about us.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into the news.
Okay. Well, like I was saying earlier, the first point of news is that two chapters from the third book in the Trials of Apollo series, The Tyrant's Tomb, are online for you to read. You cannot read them.
I cannot.
Because the spoiler is right at the beginning.
Wonderful.
It's a painful one. Yeah, so I'm not going to talk too much about that. I think it's on Entertainment Weekly, where you can read it, and the cover is out. I will say one thing. Okay. Our girl Reyna is on the cover.
Yes!
Yeah, and Rick Riordan has already said that Hazel and Frank will make appearances, as well as so many other characters. Love those babies, and Reyna is my queen. My second point of news is that the Lightning Thief musical is in Canada right now, but they will be in New York coming up right after I get back from New York. It's fine. I'm not salty about it. The musical's Twitter account has been really helpful with people's homework. They have been making presentations about the French Revolution and even a Spotify playlist to help their fans with homework.
But why the French Revolution?
Someone tweeted that they needed history help, and Chris McCarroll was in Les Mis, which isn't about the French Revolution, and they made that very clear. But they are talking about the French Revolution, and I'm sure they've all learned about it.
Yeah.
They're really, really funny. The playlist, one of the songs on the playlist is Killer Queen by the band Queen, which I think is so funny. A lot of it is opera, too. I uploaded it to Apple Music, but they also uploaded it to Spotify. I converted it for people who don't have Spotify.
Ooh, look at you.
It's called Look at All Those Guillotines. Which is perfect.
I feel like the Percy Jackson sense of humor speaks so well in today's world.
Yeah, well, it's a Vine reference.
Yeah, obviously. I know that.
Because Jarell...
I'm not that old.
Jarell likes to say, look at all those half-bloods, or look at all those demigods.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. One last point of news. I don't know a lot about this, but Rick Riordan now has other authors working for him, writing other mythology books. I haven't read those because college, lack of money, and lack of time.
Yes.
For instance, I bought An Absolutely Remarkable Thing
by
Hank Green.
Which you see on my bookshelf
yes,
right now.
Yes, I bought it in September and I finished it last month.
I have not even started it. I believe that's a signed copy and I've looked everywhere to find one. Yep. I also, somewhere that you can't see because the overcover got destroyed, is John Green's new book, also a signed copy.
I don't have a signed copy of that.
It's on the first cube now.
But I do have a signed copy of Looking for Alaska. Anyways, we should make our own book tangents.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what I was going to say is Making of a Myth is a tour type thing that they're doing, a little talk show convention looking thing. I'm not sure if it's touring, but he sits at Rick Riordan, Uncle Rick, at a panel with a bunch of his other authors, and it looks really interesting. I just have not read any of those, and he didn't write them, but that's okay, because these authors sound amazing and cool, and their ideas sound phenomenal. It's just, college money time.
Yeah, exactly. So, where is this going to be?
I am not sure. I can look it up and we could put it at the end.
Okay. We're also going to take a little break after the news so we can come back and look it up.
Yeah, so I will look that up.
Wonderful. And that was news. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. All right, we are back.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to get into the first chapter of The Lightning Thief, the first book in the Percy Jackson series. Normally, we would do two chapters at a time, but because we did the kind of intro, we're just going to do the one chapter today.
Yeah.
Which is going to be totally fine, because this chapter has a
lot. A lot happens.
Yes.
Do you like my bookmark? It's a Met ticket.
Oh, wow.
So I went to the Met.
You're fancy.
I guess you could say I geeked out on some ancient Greek.
Geeking out on ancient Greek?
Yep.
Yep.
At the New York
Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Because I'm a nerd.
This is going to be, because you have two theater people.
Yes.
Musical theater people.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about something that has a musical that we're not going to talk about until after summer.
Yeah.
So this is going to be interesting.
So
anyway,
this chapter is called I Accidentally Vaporized My Pre-Algebra Teacher.
Iconic title.
Honestly, sometimes I wish I had actually vaporized. No, I'm just kidding. Pre-algebra.
Yes.
Can I just start off by saying that he's in sixth grade.
Yeah.
He's 12.
12.
And taking pre-algebra.
Is that not a thing?
I took pre-algebra in 8th grade. Because then when I got to school, I took actual algebra in 8th grade. Because I did like an advanced thing.
Okay.
So then I took pre-algebra and 8th grade math combined in 7th grade. So I just think it's weird that at a school for troubled children.
Yeah.
And especially, in Percy's case, like, he's troubled because, like, outside forces are making it so.
Yeah.
But he also has ADD and dyslexia, which...
he's diagnosed with ADD and dyslexia.
Mm-hmm. And I just think the fact that they're teaching pre-algebra to sixth graders just seems a little soon to me, and especially at a school like this. Also, they're teaching Latin at this school.
Though I feel like that's Mr. Brother. He's just sliding in there like, hey, by the way, we're teaching Latin.
But yeah, I think it's cool, but also terrifying, because I would not have been able to get pre-algebra in sixth grade.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Especially, because like, I was homeschooled, so like my education path was so weird. I never took pre-algebra, I just went straight to algebra.
I mean, maybe what I was taking in sixth grade was pre-algebra in a sense, but we did not call it algebra because I would have peed my pants thinking about something that hard.
I never thought about that. Interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the book starts off with the
iconic
first little section in these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraph slash like stanza kind
sentences.
Of thing sentences, you get exactly who is going to be taking you through this journey.
Yes. Should we say it together?
Yes.
Ready?
Look, I didn't want to be a half-blood. If you I know. And once again, the musical just Yeah.
Look.
Look.
I'm not gonna get it.
Which, by the way, when you see that reveal, because there's a reveal for his first line.
Great,
yeah.
Great.
We'll have a whole episode on the musical.
Great.
But, like, it is so interesting. But this brings us to the first question.
Yes.
How old is he when he is writing this?
First little bit.
Yes. Because it seems like he already knows that he is going to be in a lot of danger. Is he at the end of this book? Is he... I don't know. What do you think?
Well, from the books Percy Jackson's Greek Gods and Greek Heroes, he talks about how a publisher came up to him and asked him to write these down, which I think is, like, Rick's cheesy way of being like, oh, I'm the author, blah, blah, blah. Just a kind of fun little thing. But that makes me think that in Percy's time, did he maybe write those first, or did he already know this author because he had sat down and written these?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
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 Because while these, like, the second paragraph starts with, my name is Percy Jackson, I'm 12 years old.
Yeah, so, like, it starts...
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's present tense, somewhat, because I was looking back at the chapter as you were talking, and there's some that's, like, past tense, and there's some that are present tense.
There is.
So
I was determined to be good. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah. I'm going to kill her, I mumbled.
Yeah.
So yeah.
This first part, but it could be, like, I'm telling you a story. Say I fell off my bike when I was 5. I say, my name is Hannah Saylor. Setting the scene, I'm 5 years old. Just, like, taking you back.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, you're convincing me.
Yeah. So I do feel like this is... If we're getting into the lore of, I don't know if that's the word.
As we should. The myth.
Yeah.
The legend.
This person. Do you think this is from, like, he's 30 now, he's writing this?
I don't think that he's 30.
No, not 30,
yeah.
But in the future.
Yeah, I think that maybe Last Olympian has taken place maybe a year ago.
Except he would have been gone.
True. Yeah, he would have been gone.
He wouldn't have been there.
Yeah, that's another interesting thing, is, like, how... Yeah. Like, if that is, when would he have had time?
Wait.
Okay.
Sally Jackson is an author.
She isn't.
She is.
Okay, theory,
then.
This
is too much for a first
episode. No, this is exactly right for a podcast. She interviews her son, and she makes this manuscript, and edits the manuscript, and gets the publisher to like, publish the manuscript.
Yeah.
We cracked it, guys.
We did.
We did it.
So...
But then, like, still, when would the interview have taken place? Because Percy was gone.
Well, I think after everything that happens, because there's going to be a point where Rick stops writing. Like, he can't keep writing these books forever.
I know.
As much as I wish he
would.
We're already blessed that he's given us 3 series. Well, every series has a Percy Jackson reference in it, even the Kane Chronicles.
Yeah.
And my theory is that he's going to write a big series where everyone comes together.
The Avengers Endgame.
Yes, Avengers Endgame of Percy Jackson.
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, yo.
Also, quick question. What do we call that universe? Because we call
Riordanverse.
Riordanverse?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Because I'm like, I've never known, because I'm like, I would always just call it Percy Jackson. But, like, with the Kane Chronicles and Magnus Chase. Well, I guess Magnus Chase is a little bit, because Chase.
Annabeth is for sure in Magnus Chase.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Chase.
Yeah.
They're related.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So, we start off with those iconic words.
Yes.
And we are immediately brought into Yancey Academy. Am I a troubled kid? Yeah, you could say that. Talking about his Latin teacher. Talking about all this kind of stuff. Talking about his field trips. And this brings up the first question that I have.
Yeah.
Is, even though Percy has this excuse of having ADD and dyslexia because he's a demigod, does he still belong at this school? Because if you look at, and this is something that I noticed rereading this last night, Because if you look at the last paragraph on page 2, he's talking about the incident with the Revolutionary War cannon. I wasn't aiming at the school bus, but of course I got expelled anyway. He was still playing with a cannon!
Was he? Okay.
And then another thing is, like, question. He hit the wrong lever. He was hitting, okay. He was hitting levers anyway.
Wait,
like, how he wants to deck Nancy
wait.
Boba Fett.
Okay, I think but he anyone belongs else at, would.
But it's still, like, that is still troubled kid
yeah.
behavior.
But so, my question, I don't mean to cut you off, but I kind of do, sorry.
But whatever.
These things, I don't, how would this cannon would have, okay, how would this cannon have fired?
Mm-hmm.
Why were there cannons, why were there explosives in the cannon? And second, like, I'm wondering if these are monster attacks that the mist has manipulated to make it look like Percy did it.
But then he admits hitting the wrong lever. He was going to hit some lever, and he was still playing with the cannon. If it was the mist manipulating, wouldn't he have seen it anyway?
Not necessarily.
Oh, yeah, true. But that's another thing. How much has Percy done? Also, like, further in the book, when we get to meet Nancy Boba Fett,
yeah.
that... should we keep this podcast G?
Because
I want to call her something.
I mean, you can. We can bleep it.
Her that bitch.
Yeah.
He talks about, like, wanting to deck her.
I don't blame him.
But, like, that's still troubled kid behavior. So I have a theory that, like, even if Percy wasn't a demigod, he would still be kicked out of schools, and he still would be here at Yancey.
Yeah.
He's a problematic kid from the start. Not saying I don't like him, but he has his problems.
I think,
and I think it's because he has neglect issues, and because he, it's not stated, but he has abuse issues as well.
Yeah. I feel like, I always think about if these books have been written for an older audience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Gabe didn't just call him names and make fun of him.
Absolutely not.
There's, no.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a little heavy. I don't know, I still kind of think it was the mist. Like, he was probably, I mean, but how old was he?
Mm-hmm.
Fourth grade. Everyone's touching lovers, they shouldn't. On field trips. Why would they take them back there?
Granted, I was homeschooled, but I never touched levers.
That was just a stupid thing to do. That was a bad decision on the part of the teachers. I do think there was probably a monster attack, and that's actually how the shark got out.
The shark got out and, like, walked out.
Yeah,
everyone fell into the shark tank. The shark got up, walked on his two fins.
It got up, and
it was left shark and right.
It
danced with Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you want to continue with the book? What happened in the book?
Yeah. Okay, so he's gonna be good this time.
He's gonna be a good kid.
For his mom, mostly.
For his mom. Sally Jackson, the
best person in the world.
Who we have found to be the real author of these books.
Yeah. Okay, Nancy Boba Fett. Ugh.
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 Even that name. Like, I'm sorry if your name is Boba Fett, but, like, I'm sorry.
It reminds me of Star Wars. Like, Boba Fett.
Yeah.
I wonder if, since these were written for Rick's son, if Rick's son was maybe a Star Wars fan.
That brings me into a discussion question that I want to have at the end of this.
Okay. Yeah, so then they're picking on my man Grover. Oh, Grover. Yeah, I think it's just funny. These books are so funny, and going back...
Mm-hmm. And they're funny in the right way, where it's not an adult trying to appeal to a kid, trying... That's not like, hey, fellow kids, like that thing. It's not that. He does it so well.
Yeah, exactly. He really does. So, let's go to the museum tour.
Mm-hmm.
I was recently at the Met.
Yes.
It was great. I very specifically went there because these books have turned me into a huge Greek and Roman nerd.
Of course, as they have with so many
people. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And the worst place to take a bunch of sixth graders. Especially at a school for troubled kids. Like, they could walk up and push, like,
really?
Stuff over.
It's like that?
You can walk up and touch it. They'll yell at you, but you could.
Wow, I've never been to...
It's
I think
not
I,
roped up.
I've been to, like, the steps of the Met, but never in the Met.
Yeah, it's $12 with a student pass.
That was too much for me. For 3 days.
For 3 days.
Yeah. That's not bad. Okay. Maybe I'll go in this next time that I go.
I think this was a bad idea from the start. But mm-hmm. Obviously Mr. Brunner wants Percy to get exposed to this.
Yes. Which shows how much, I mean, not favoritism, but, like, how much Mr. Brunner, like, watched Percy amongst all of the other students and just, like, didn't care about being a real teacher. He just wanted to prep Percy.
Yeah. I mean, that was his job. I'm still sure, like, the greatest teacher ever. I would kill to have Mr. Brunner as a teacher.
Oh, so yeah.
Yeah, so they're walking through, looking at everything. Mrs. Dodds is just creepy.
Mrs. Dodds. Have we talked about Mrs. Dodds yet?
We have not talked about Mrs. Dodds.
Mrs. Dodds.
Creepy.
Creepy as...
Just creepy.
I see. How do you envision Mrs. Dodds? Because I have a very clear image taking root of some from a celebrity as well.
So I had a substitute teacher who used to ride a moped to school, and she was this really, really old woman, and she had a leather jacket. So that's did how she I act like it, Mrs.
Dodds. Did she act like she was actually riding a motorcycle, but instead it was a moped?
Yes.
Me in the future.
Oh my gosh, she was so funny. Like the wind would like blow through her like white hair. It was like short. She was just
See, I see her as an older version of... Have you seen the movie? I think it's called Monster.
No.
Okay. Charlize Theron. I think that's how... The actress, yeah.
I know
when
her.
She, like, totally transformed herself to play a serial killer.
She's in Three Billboards. Yes. Yeah.
You know who that is. You know that look that she went through the movie?
Sure.
I'll pull it up. Hold up.
Okay. Anyways,
how I envision Mrs. Dodds. So you keep talking,
so
I'll
just
pull it up.
A petite older woman who looks terrifying. Like, not...
Yeah.
She reminds me of... I grew up going to church every Sunday. My dad's a pastor. She reminds me of a little old church lady who thinks she's the boss of you. Kind of. I've definitely had a church lady, like, poke me in the head and tell me to pay attention, and she kind of reminds me of that.
So, okay, this is how I see her. I don't know, this might not be... I want to, like, a full body.
Okay.
So this...
Ah, yes.
That's how I see her.
Yeah.
Maybe a little skinnier, maybe a little, like, hair in a bun, but, like, Charlize Theron in Monster.
Okay.
That's how I've always seen her.
Yes. Yeah, if you can picture that, Google it.
Google it. It'll be in the...
This is an audio.
Yeah, this is an audio podcast. We'll post it on social media.
Yeah.
Well, along with this episode.
But can we talk about the contrast of Mr. Brunner and Mrs. Dodds? Because Mr. Brunner just sounds like he always smells like coffee.
Yeah, he always smells like coffee. I also think, like, it's a interesting material difference, whereas they mention him wearing a lot of tweed and her wearing a lot of leather.
Yes.
Also referencing to what they actually are.
Yeah.
Like, even just then. And also with coffee, I was trying to figure out, like, why did he smell like coffee?
Oh, it's a nice smell.
It's a nice smell, yeah. And it's very, like, teacherly smell, but I was trying to see, like, does it have anything to do with horses? And a lot of coffee mills use horses to, like, drive wagons around.
Wow.
Yes.
Look at you.
Well, like, especially, like, older mills or, like, mills that do things the old-fashioned way before... Because they're hipster or whatever. Like, still use horses.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering if that's it?
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Good research.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Mr. Brunner, Mrs. Dodds. I kind of have another question before we move forward. Grover said something to Percy that really caught my eye, and I was like, whoa. Percy's talking about Mrs. Dodds, and he says, I gotta find the page. Oh, it's on page 4 and 5. Percy says to Grover, I don't think Mrs. Dodds is human.
Yes.
And Grover says, you're absolutely right. So why were they keeping Percy in that environment if they knew?
See, I think that's... And like, oh, okay.
If they knew.
So the thing with the Fates, though, is that they're not inherently evil.
No. And they only knew a little bit, like, they had, if I'm remembering correctly from later chapters, it was a rumor that the lightning bolt had been stolen, so they probably had no idea that...
No.
That this would happen to Percy.
And they probably were thinking, like, the Faint was just there to watch over Percy as well, maybe?
Yeah, well,
but just
no
in case
knew...
they... Because also, keep in mind, they have two Camp Half-Blood people.
Yeah.
Creatures. People. I'll just say people.
I also...
Watching over Percy.
Yeah. As much as I love Mr. Brunner, I think he definitely wanted to see how Percy would hold up.
Yeah.
If... Because he doesn't know who his dad is.
But
or...
do you think that he has a clue? Because that's a really odd thing for Chiron, spoiler alert, to watch over a half-blood when it's usually just, like, a satyr.
So, if I'm remembering right,
yeah.
It's because Percy, they kind of knew he was special.
Okay.
Well, and Sally had gotten in contact
yes, with Camp Half-Blood. Sally Jackson, yep.
Sally Jackson, the queen.
The queen.
Okay. So, moving on, they go and they're looking at the Greek stuff and...
We were geeking out on ancient
Greek. Nancy says, why is this important? And Percy tells her to shut up. And Mr. Brunner's like, yeah, why is it important, Percy? And Percy's like, I don't know. I'm in sixth grade. I don't like answering questions.
I'm awkward. Can you imagine the how much Percy's going through puberty at this. This is a lot for him to handle. This is a lot. Puberty and then all of this. It's
really
a lot for him to handle.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This was not a good time for him.
No. These poor children. When you think about it, this series is so sad. They're sending children to war.
Back in ancient Greece, like, you were considered an adult so much younger
That's very
as today.
True. That's
so
very
back
true.
Then, they would be sending people this age to war anyway. Possibly. They would be getting married.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit, maybe, it's a little bit more progressive for On the God Side.
Mm-hmm. another musical quote, I will accept only the best from you, Percy Jackson. I highlighted that.
And then the class gathered on the front steps of the museum. They have lunch. And then we have the fountain incident.
Because Nancy
comes over to mess with Grover. And suddenly Nancy's in the fountain.
Out of nowhere.
What?
Out of, quote, nowhere.
And the students are like, oh my god, like, it looked like the waves grabbed her. And so the first time that you were reading this, not knowing what was happening, was that something that stuck out to you?
Yes and no. I was just kind of like, oh, well, that's weird. Because I was Percy's age in the books when I read these. Maybe even younger.
Yeah.
This came out in 2010, then I was 10.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it definitely stuck out to me the first time I remember, like, okay, I'm going to remember that, put that in the back of my head. Because I didn't know anything about Greek mythology when I was reading these books for the first time. So I didn't understand the importance of it.
Yeah.
But, like, now I'm like, that's why, yep.
Now you're kind of like, okay, if these people didn't know who his godly parent was, do they not, like, especially later on when he blows up the toilets, they're like, oh, I wonder who his godly parent is.
But I think it's also a little bit of denial. Like, they don't want it to
Because then he's a child of the big three.
And then he's also a prime suspect for the Bolt and, like, everything. So, they don't want him to be, so they just deny.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very, very true.
But then Mrs. Dodds appears next to them. I'm going to get the exact quote. Page 9, at the very end. Mrs. Dodds materialized next to us.
Yeah.
Ooh!
Which, I mean, it's not like she appeared. Materialized is a very specific thing to say.
Yes. And I think it's a very good usage of that word because it's the language that the book has already established that it's going to be in. It's kind of very... common, relaxed wording.
It's very specific. What Rick did here is very specific.
Yeah, and I, as a writer, like, that stuck out to me so much. I'm like, yes,
if
that's
you didn't,
great.
If you didn't think she was a threat,
you know now she's a threat. And now, especially now, because she's going to be like, Percy Jackson, come into the museum with me. Which immediately, don't they teach anything in the school? Percy, don't go with the teacher.
The buddy system.
And by the way, I should point out that Grover volunteers are like, as tribute,
Grover's
basically.
Grover's trying so hard.
He's trying so hard. He's like, I did it.
Me.
And Mrs. Dodge, like, already knows what's up. So she doesn't take Grover. But, like, he already knows. He tries to sacrifice himself. Like, that's huge.
Yeah.
And we don't know about it at this point.
No.
Which, that's awesome. But anyway, so Percy goes off with Mrs. Dodds. And,
When I was at the Met, yeah. I was trying to figure out where this was.
So they're still on the steps at this point.
Except then they go into the Greek and Roman section and they find an empty gallery.
Which doesn't exist.
If they were moving stuff in, it very likely could have.
But here's my theory. The mist created that room.
Whoa.
Because Mrs. Dodds needed a place to talk to Percy.
Whoa!
That's my theory.
What?
Yes.
Well, yeah, and there's... Like, the Met, maybe on a school afternoon, would not be that busy, but it's still the Met. Like, it's a tourist trap.
Yeah, and it says, like, the room is empty of artifacts and people. I think the mist created this room.
Oh my gosh, that's good.
Thank you. And so, yeah, except for us, the gallery was empty, and she starts making, like, this growling noise.
I love it.
Which... I just hear in my head as, like, the most disgusting noise.
Yeah. Very gross. It creeps me out. I don't like it.
And then Mrs. Dodds starts talking to Percy about, like, oh, we know what you did. We are not fools, Percy Jackson, Mrs. Dodds says. It is only a matter of time before we found you out. Confess and you will suffer less pain.
What he thinks she's talking about is so funny.
Yes. What does he think?
The illegal stash of candy he'd been selling out of his dorm room.
Which, by the way, can we just talk about how, like...
He's a smart kid.
He's smart, but, like, I think Rick Riordan, like, I wanted to put drugs in this...
somewhere. No, I do not.
But, like,
think that's
then they're
what
like, hey, you can't have a sixth grader.
He was
year,
not
like,
selling drugs.
No, but no, originally, like, Rick Riordan was like, troubled school for kids. Drugs. Okay. Wait, I can't put drugs in a kid's movie, in a kid's book. Gotta change it to candy.
I feel like Percy's the last person to do drugs, though.
But he would be the first. I think he would be the first to sell them.
Sell fake ones. It's just candy. It's just powdered candy. he crushed up like Fun Dip.
Or like Smarties.
Oh, no.
Oh my god, sells it to the eighth graders.
Oh my gosh, candy cigarettes. I feel like he'd make it look like he was selling drugs to look like, not actually, but as a joke, I think.
Also, if he needed the money, he's smart enough to do this.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't like to think of little innocent 12-year-old Percy Jackson doing any bad to
I don't think he's innocent. I'm sorry. I don't think he's innocent.
He's just a baby.
Anyway.
I'm just a 12-year-old kid.
Yep. Then Mrs. Dodds transforms, and it's described as the weirdest thing that has happened to Percy at this time.
I am going to say, sorry, I keep cutting you off.
Totally.
The movie did a great job of making this look
terrifying.
This is
terrifying. This is the best scene in the movie, in my opinion.
I was kind of like, okay, this isn't so bad.
No.
And then the second they got to Camp Half-Blood, I think when they get to Camp Half-Blood is when it's just awful.
Yeah.
You see Annabeth and you're like, no.
Well, for me, I think... I was fine with what they did with Camp Half-Blood in the movie, and we'll have a whole movie episode.
Camp Half-Blood's fine, but Annabeth is not.
Annabeth is not. I like the replacement of the wall instead of Capture the Flag, because it's a more cinematic thing. It's when they go on their quest that ruins it for me.
Yeah, Annabeth ruined the whole movie.
Of course, because you love Annabeth.
I do.
Anyway, so Mrs. Dodds transformed. This is one of my favorite lines of this chapter is... Her eyes began to glow like barbecue coals. That, to me, as a writer, once again, is, like, one of my favorite things. It's just, like, a little small little detail, and you don't think about combining those two things into a simile, a metaphor.
That is really good.
I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. And then Mr. Brunner comes out of nowhere with Riptide.
It's a pen. This is a pen!
This is a pen! Oh, you want to take the rest?
Yeah, so Mrs. Dodds goes... So he throws the pen to Percy, and Percy's like, what? And then he clicks it, and it's a sword. What? Which is just sick. There's a proper name for it. Riptide's name starts with an A.
Yep, I've never been able to pronounce it. Hey, Google, what's Riptide's real name?
On the website Reardon.fandom.com, they say, Anaklusmos, Greek for Riptide, is the prized sword of Percy Jackson that is made of celestial bronze, a material that is only deadly on gods, demigods, titans, giants, and monsters.
Google Home!
Your Google Home app.
That was so, cool!
Anaklusmos. Something like that. You know, y'all know what it is. It kind of sounds like Annabeth a little bit.
Aww.
Anyway.
Side note.
Oh, yeah?
You haven't read this, but in the third Magnus chase, Jack, the talking sword, has a crush on Riptide. Riptide's a girl.
Ah, I love that.
Ooh, it's so funny. Oh, you just have to read it. It's the first chapter. Okay, so it's a sword. Mm. It's not a pen. It's a sword. Percy's freaking out, as he should be. He's freaking out. Mrs. Dodds is, like, coming towards him.
Coming for him.
She's going to rip him to pieces. I love how she says, honey.
Yes.
Die, honey. I hate it.
I just picture her with, like, the worst southern drawl.
Die, honey.
She like Dolly Parton's voice.
She doesn't say anything viciously. She's just like, I know what you did.
And that's where I'm like, the Fates aren't necessarily evil. They're like, they think, because they legitimately think he stole from the god.
They do.
And that's a huge crime, so they're just trying to punish him.
Yeah.
They're not evil.
Which, I mean, the person who stole from the gods, spoiler alert.
Shh, don't say it.
I'm not going to say it.
I mean, we all know who it is, but like.
Should be punished.
Yes. Whatever.
That's fine. And then he swings the sword. Mm. Good thing, Mr. Brunner had been, you know, dinking around, teaching them, like, sword stuff.
Yeah.
Once
again, totally favoring Percy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amongst all of the other students.
I do want to talk about something later, about that.
Okay.
And then he hits her, and she turns into sand.
Yeah.
Which, and then he's alone.
And the,
no one's there.
And there was a ballpoint pen in my hand.
Yeah. Which I think... It's not the mist at this point.
No.
Now... And I think they talk about this... I really need to go back and reread other chapters. But I think they talk about how he was under the mist as well as he could be. And he was kept from it as well as he could be.
Yeah.
But now it's gone. It's
because he's upright seen something.
He has seen it.
Do you think the Fates have enough power to, like, control who is in the mist and who is not? Does that power come from the Fates?
A little bit? No, because certain mortals can see through it.
True, but is that
their
fate?
And demigods can manipulate it, like Hazel will ask.
Yeah. But she's also a little
she's magical. So cool.
Yes.
So he hits her with the sword, and she's sand, and he thinks my lunch must have been contaminated with magic mushrooms or something.
Let's get a drug reference!
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry, Rick Riordan wanted to put drugs in here. Percy Jackson knew about drugs. I'm sorry, Gabe totally did drugs in their apartment. That's why he smells so bad, because weed smells like cat pee.
It does. That's what New York also smells like.
Yes, it does.
So, and then he goes out. Do you want to talk about this?
No, yeah, you finish it up.
Mrs. Kerr.
Yep, immediately there's a substitute.
Yes. And
we've never had a teacher named Mrs.
Dodds.
Percy says,
who? And Nancy says, our teacher, duh. And Grover, not the best liar, because he's a sweet boy. So he paused, and he wouldn't look at Percy, and the last line of this chapter. So Percy's like, where's Mrs. Dodds? What happened? No one's addressing this. Mr. Brunner, he hands the pen back to Mr. Brunner and says, where's Mrs. Dodds? And Mr. Brunner goes, who? And he says, you know, Mrs. Dodds, you know, the substitute, the pre-algebra teacher. And Mr. Brunner, I remember getting chills. He says, Percy, there's no Mrs. Dodds on this trip. As far as I know, there has never been a Mrs. Dodds at Yancey Academy. Are you feeling all right?
And that's where the chapter ends. Ooh. This is one of the best first chapters,
it's
I think,
so
in a children's.
Good.
not even just in a children's book. And granted, I haven't read every book. But, like, this has got to be one of the best first chapters.
I feel like Rick does not get enough credit as a writer because people see him as a children's author.
Yeah, he is such a good writer.
Well, yeah, he's amazing. And also, I feel like the Heroes of Olympus series really, and especially Magnus Chase, I think he's trying to get away from being a children's author. Because Magnus Chase has language in it.
Yeah.
It's got some slight language.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, and he started out writing adult books.
He did.
And they're apparently adult books.
Yes.
I haven't read them, but...
Yeah, I think I started reading one. Maybe we'll, after we get done with every Percy Jackson book that we can.
So, when I'm 50 years old...
I know. But, okay, so going back to, like, having children and everything. So, a note that I have, and this kind of references the first paragraph again, and I wanted to wait until the end to reach on this, though. It says, if you recognize yourself in these pages, if you feel something stirring inside, stop reading immediately. Who didn't feel something stirring inside of...
Because it's such a good... The way it's written, it creeps you out.
Yeah, it creeps you out, but, like, it also gives you, like, this weird, like, call to action.
Yeah.
Like, it... Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's so good. Do you remember... They used to have a demigod test. I don't remember which book it was in, but it was...
It was in, like, the guide.
The guide.
Yep, that
I had. To let you know if you were a demigod or not. Mm. One of them, correct me if I'm wrong, was Deja Vu, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, and I have Deja Vu moments, like, crazy.
Same.
Like, crazy. So, he does a really good job of engaging his audience.
Yes. Yeah.
And keeping them in... to it.
And I think he's also really good at writing personalities.
He's one of the best personality writers. And can we talk about how, like, inclusive he is?
He's getting inclusive.
He wasn't at the beginning.
He wasn't at the beginning. Well, okay, I'll give him the argument that he has stated that, like, he doesn't write he didn't write inclusivity in the first couple books because, like, he wanted to keep it open for interpretation.
Yeah.
But then he started writing abrupt inclusivity.
Yeah.
Unlike some other popular children's author that I'm not going to name, but, like, she may have also the best series ever.
I think her name is, like, it starts with a J.
I thought it was KJ.
KJ?
KJ.
KJ.
Walking?
Trolling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. which is so awesome. Like,
yes.
It's, yeah, he's so good.
Especially, Alex. In the Magnus Chase series.
Yeah.
That just made me happy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, this was our first podcast.
It was. Did we have a couple... I had a couple more points in the chapter.
Oh, okay, yep, cool. Go on.
So, when Percy's talking about the classes,
mm-hmm.
It seems like Mr. Brenner is teaching more Rome than Greek.
Interesting.
Because they're learning Latin, which of course is the root to all languages.
Yeah.
But if he was specifically trying to help Percy get ready for Camp Half-Blood, wouldn't he have been... I mean, his brain is hardwired for ancient Greek, but wouldn't he have, like, helped him with that a little bit?
Yeah.
So he's teaching Latin and also Roman fighting techniques.
Mmm, interesting.
Uh-huh.
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah.
Hmm. So,
do you think he knew about Camp Jupiter?
I think. Oh, wait, I
totally think he's been alive for so long.
And also, like, because he trains half-bloods, doesn't it say that he's also trained? No, not some of the Camp Jupiter kids, but, like,
heroes, actual Greek heroes.
Yeah,
yeah.
And also, I'm pretty. Doesn't he have a Roman equivalent as well? I'm trying to think.
Is it with an A?
I think so.
Is it Charon?
Karen.
My Roman counterpart.
Karen. Yes.
I just picked up on that and I thought it was interesting. I mean, I don't know if that's what was going on.
I mean, maybe I have a theory of, at this time, Rick Riordan didn't know that he was going to write King of Jupiter.
No, absolutely not.
And so he was like, okay. And also maybe Latin and, like, Roman is the closest thing he could get within the school system. Because it's still a little more prevalent than ancient Greek.
Yeah. I mean, think about yesterday. The Ides of...
Yeah. Like, the Ides of March.
Yeah. That's... People still talk about stuff like that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
Yeah. It's something interesting that I never picked up
There's
on.
There's so much in this first chapter.
Anything else that you had?
I don't believe so. Oh. One more quote. where is it? She'd send me right back to Yancey to remind me that I had to try harder, even if this was my sixth school in six years.
That sounds very familiar.
It was probably going to be kicked out again.
Yeah. Goodness. All right. Well, this has been Demipod.
Yeah, episode 1.
Episode 1. I've been Brain Joseph.
I am Hannah Saylor.
And keep watch for monsters, and beware of evil pre-algebra teachers.
Carry a pen with you at all times.
It might be a sword.
Yep.
All right, bye.
Bye.
The theme music in this podcast is Take Me Higher by Jazzar and is licensed under an attribution share alike license. There's a link to the music in our show notes. This is a fan-created podcast. This podcast has no affiliation with Rick Riordan, Disney, or any of its affiliations.